I'm sorry I'm slightly late.
Ladies and gentlemen,
in the first place, I'd like to address the foreign correspondents.
Now, I know that
much has been written about Pakistan.
Much has been written against Pakistan.
That's water over the dam. And as I said to the Security Council, mistakes have been made, people make mistakes.
But let's not
now make this into a personal issue.
I'm right and you're wrong. Well, we've had to pay a very heavy price. And now, after having paid such a heavy price,
the physical dismemberment of my country temporarily
by a foreign country,
unprecedented in the annals of contemporary diplomacy,
I would expect sympathy and cooperation from the foreign press. I have today met the
ambassadors of the great powers,
and I've told all of them that we want to begin anew. We want to begin anew internally.
We want to begin anew externally.
No rancor, no bitterness,
and
in the spirit of understanding and cooperation.
So,
having said that much to you,
ladies and gentlemen who have come from abroad,
you're welcome to Pakistan.
You'll get all the cooperation from
our government. I expect now to
spread the tentacles.
We now will have a government for a change.
And
we'll have the necessary paraphernalia to look after you. I intend to appoint very soon
a Minister for Information and Broadcasting who will have the
bureaucracy.
The bureaucracy had its own difficulties. They didn't have a sense of guidance,
sense of direction.
So it's not the fault of the bureaucracy either.
There was a political void, and we suffered for a political void. We suffered badly for a political void. As far as my Pakistan friends are concerned, I know them all very well. I knew them as ministers, I know them personally, and now I say to them, I welcome you again. You belong to a great fraternity. You've written harsh things about me, you've written unfair things about me, uncharitable things about me, unkind things about me, false things about me, but I like you all the same. And let us work together now. Because you didn't do it, certain factors were responsible. And in this connection to the working journalist, the poor journalist, I am telling him that I'm going to make new arrangements for the press trust. So long, the press trust has been the most mistrusted press in the world. We have a trust of the people, a people's press trust.
And as the first step, I dismissed the managing director of the press trust, General Habibullah,
a fattened industrialist who has lived on the fat of the land. He's dismissed as of today.
And we will appoint a people's representative sympathetic to the people's requirements, the people's needs.
This evening, I addressed the nation
on the television,
and so I won't like to speak too much. I don't want to
unnecessarily bother people.
I don't want to unnecessarily come in the press. I'm
a man of action. I've got very small pieces to pick up, and we must pick them up. And we must make a
Grecian urn out of it,
a good urn out of it, because
Pakistan was the will of the people of this country,
will of the people of the Muslims of the subcontinent.
Muslims of the subcontinent have never faced a defeat, and we are not going to face a defeat. Temporary setbacks we will take because of the decomposition of the social structure.
I tell my jawans,
I tell the officers,
young officers in particular, that your struggle is not in vain. And I am prepared for good relations with India. I was always prepared for good relations with India.
But relations based on justice and equity,
on the rights of India and Pakistan in the subcontinent.
Not a relationship imposed on Pakistan.
Not a relationship imposed on India.
Not a dictated relationship,
because that can't be lasting.
We want a lasting settlement.
We don't want to be torn by war after every
5 to 10 years. We are the poorest people in the world. And we have made a laughing stock of ourselves.
We made a fool of ourselves.
Now let us turn a new chapter.
But a new chapter based on justice and equity, tolerance, not on the sense of victory and defeat.
There can be no victory and defeat in that sense. Then it will be the victory of the dying over the dead,
because we will die rather than to submit to that kind of victory. I know others have said this, use the same words, but I am not others. I'd much rather shoot myself than to allow that kind of victory to be imposed on the people of Pakistan. Who is Jagjeevan Ram?
To impose a settlement on Pakistan.
They cannot impose a settlement on Pakistan.
I am prepared to talk to the government of India.
But I am prepared to talk to the government of India on the basis of
honor and equity,
on the basis of the rights of the people of Pakistan,
on the basis of justice, on the basis of a permanent and a fair settlement,
but not with a sword of Damocles hanging over our heads and not with gloating over what they consider to be their temporary victories.
East Pakistan is a part of Pakistan.
East Pakistan will always remain a Pakistan, a part of Pakistan.
I want to enter into direct negotiations with our Bengali brethren, without any foreign occupation,
without any foreign influence.
We can cover the field among ourselves.
From one end of the spectrum to the other.
But the settlement must be between West and East Pakistan.
Whatever that settlement is,
it must be between us. I do not want to cover the past.
I do not want to go into
the past, because the past is a sordid past. It's a bad past, it's a terrible past. I don't want to say what impediments were placed for us to come to an understanding between East and Pakistan after the elections. That chapter of history will be written later. I don't want to touch upon it now.
But we want a free slate, a clean slate,
to arrive at a settlement
between the genuine leaders of Bengal, of Muslim Bengal, and the genuine leaders of West Pakistan.
And I believe we can come to a fair settlement within the concept of one Pakistan, of a united Pakistan.
No matter how loose that federation is,
no matter how loose that arrangement is, I still, something tells me in my heart,
intuitively,
that we can swing it.
I am prepared to
make every effort to swing it.
I am prepared to make every endeavor to swing it.
So this is my message to the world and to the people of Pakistan. Have faith, have confidence in your elected leaders. I tell the armed forces, please be patient. I am going to restore communication with you.
I have already taken certain action,
strong action, which no ordinary man would have taken tonight, in removing some of the fat and flabby generals.
And
they are the vaderas of the army.
And
we are against vaderas everywhere.
So please, the armed forces,
believe me, we are part of the nation. We will support you. We will stand by you. We will redeem this day. And we will do it soon, not too late.
What are 5 years, 10 years? In the history of a nation,
we've got a civilization of 5,000 years.
I am prepared to take all the risks.
I can take all the risks because the people are with me.
The supremacy of the people is the greatest supremacy. The people are taller than the Himalayas,
and I am taller than the Himalayas because the people are with me.
So don't worry. I will never take any action which is motivated by cowardice. I'll take action which is right. I will take action against corruption. Strongly I'll come down on corruption. I'll take action against nepotism, against maladministration.
I will take action in the highest conformity of national interest,
in the highest conformity of the people of Pakistan.
And as long as I can do it, as long as I'm able to do it, as long as I'm given the liberty to do it by the people of Pakistan, and if it means that I have to perish as an individual, I do not mind, because the ideal and the thought will remain, because the ideal and thought of Pakistan is permanent.
And let me tell my journalist friends that I am available to you at any time, whenever you want. I am available to the people of Pakistan at any time, whether it is morning, evening, afternoon. I am not a man who works for 2 hours in a day. I am a man who works for 24 hours in a day. And I will be available wherever you want me, in Rahim Yar Khan, in Goistan, in Bahawalpur, in Bahawalnagar, in Mirpur Khas, wherever the poor people of Pakistan want me, wherever they need the leaders to be with them. I know that they have been misguided, they have been betrayed. But I ask the people of Pakistan, please be a little patient. Please wait for us. You have waited for 24 years. You have waited for 200 years. Now, just wait a little. And we will see to it that your needs are served, that the bureaucracy tyranny comes to an end, and that we build a new and brave Pakistan. I want the cooperation of everyone in the building of a new and a brave Pakistan. Pakistan Zindabad, and our great religion of Islam than love.
We heard your biggest speech on the radio. You spoke about everybody, but you didn't refer to the prisoners who had been in the movement. You didn't refer to them at all.
Which prisoners?
The people who during the movement, political prisoners.
Yes, step by step, but if you want an answer to that, all political prisoners, except those charged with treason or wars against the state, I intend to release them very soon.
Mr. President, I think the world, having heard you speak of forgiving and forgetting the past, of dealing with the coup leaders of East Pakistan, would like a direct answer to the question of, will you release Sheikh Mujib and would you negotiate with him under certain circumstances?
Please bear with me for a moment. First of all, I must go to my people. My people have been told a lot of lies. They have been deceived. They have been deceived too much. They have been cut off from reality. You know what the... when I went abroad, I came to know what was happening. When I reached Kabul, when I went to Tehran, I came to know a little more. When I reached Frankfurt, I came to know a little more. Because in the press here, we were being told one thing, and the reality was different. And when I could be misled to some extent, although I was beginning to see between the lines and to smell something, I don't know what our poor people think. That's why this is a sudden thud. That's why the people are staggered, bewildered. So I must go back to the people and tell them the truth. I will not bypass the people. I will never bypass the people. I need time. And when I say time, my dear friend, I don't need months. I need a month or so. To go to the people, tell them the truth, how we stand, where we stand, what has happened. And in politics, there's no finality. And I would much rather do everything possible for a one united Pakistan and exhaust all options than to take a rigid position and to take an uncompromising position. But first of all, let me go to my people.
Are you saying, sir, that it is a possibility then?
I'm saying let me first go to my people. Unconditionally, I am prepared to work for a new settlement within the concept of one Pakistan.
Sir, can I ask you, why have you become president, and what sort of president do you expect to be?
I expect to be a figurehead president at the service of my people. I expect to be to put my thumb impression on anything that the people say. I am a servant of the people. But as far as vested interests are concerned, as far as putting things right are concerned, I shall not remain a moment in this chair if I cannot effect the decisions that my people want.
Sir, what truth has to be told to the people in connection with Sheikh Mujib?
You're a clever man. I know you very well. Wait for some time.
Mr. President, can you tell us the whereabouts of ex-president Yahya and what his status is at the moment?
Last time I met the former President Yahya Khan was in the President's house. I've heard some stories after that, but I've been too busy in dealing with fundamental problems to confirm them.
Will any action be taken against Yahya Khan as suggested by some prominent Pakistanis?
Prominent Pakistanis are those who have got the people's mandate. We had elections in December 1970. To me, the starting point that answers your question, for me, the starting point of any future negotiation or giving my ear to anyone is dependent on the elections of December 1970. I do not consider anyone to be prominent who has not been thrown up by the people. That's why tonight I have abolished and discarded the phony elections that were held this October.
So you have no intention of instituting any proceedings against the former government?
I did not say that. I said when you said made a demand by prominent people, I don't regard those people to be prominent. Because I know they've been sponsored by certain outside powers. And in my absence, they tried to create some mischief. But I do not regard them to be prominent. I only regard those people, individuals to be prominent, who have been thrown up by the people. Your question was put in a different context. If you ask me a question in a different way, that you intend to institute any inquiries against the former government, then I can answer your question. Your premise, I do not accept. That those people who were defeated miserably in the last election